God loves you. Amen? Let's give him a round of praise. Praise him. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Well, it's my pleasure to be able to preach again this morning. Pastor is on vacation with his family, as Harry shared earlier, and it's my pleasure and honor to share God's word with all of you. Thank you all for coming. I titled my message this morning, Don't Consider It Strange. That's quite a strange topic, huh? Don't consider it strange. And my text is 1 Peter 4, verses 12 through 19, if you want to take your Bibles and open up to that. First Peter 4. I'd like to read the first couple verses of chapter 4. And then just jump over to, we're going to do a little jumping. Let's read the first couple verses and then jump over to verse 8, and then we'll just finish out the chapter. Therefore, since Christ has suffered in the flesh, arm yourselves also with that same purpose, because he who suffered in the flesh has ceased from sin. So as to live the rest of the time in the flesh, no longer for the lusts of men, but for the will of God. And then jump over to verse 8. Above all, keep fervent in your love for one another, because love covers a multitude of sins. Be hospitable to one another without complaint, as each one has received a special gift. Employ it in serving one another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. Whoever speaks, let him speak as it were the utterances of God. Whoever serves, let him do so as by the strength which God supplies, so that in all things God may be glorified through Jesus Christ, to whom belongs all the glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. Verse 12. Beloved, do not be surprised at the fiery ordeal among you, which comes upon you for your testing, but as though some strange thing were happening to you. But to the degree that you share the sufferings of Christ, keep on rejoicing, so that also at the revelation of his glory, you may rejoice with exultation. If you are reviled for the name of Christ, you are blessed, because the Spirit of glory and of God rests upon you. By no means let any of you suffer as a murderer, or thief, or evildoer, or a troublesome meddler. But if anyone suffers as a Christian, let him not feel ashamed, but in that name let him glorify God. For it is the time for judgment to begin with the household of God. And if it begins with us first, what will be the outcome for those who do not obey the gospel of God? And if it is difficult for the righteous to be saved, what will become of the godless man and the sinner? Therefore, let those also who suffer according to the will of God entrust their souls to a faithful Creator in doing what is right. Thank you, Lord. Lord, I just pray right now, Lord God, that you would open our ears, open our hearts, Lord God, to receive your message this morning. I know that this is a difficult topic to discuss, the topic of suffering. But I just pray your holy anointing this morning in this place, that you would touch each heart here this morning by your grace and your love. In Jesus' name, amen. Don't consider it strange. There are a lot of strange things in this world. We agree on that? Strange is defined as unusual or surprising in a way that is unsettling or hard to understand. unusual or surprising in a way that is unsettling or hard to understand. It could also mean unfamiliar or unknown. Who has heard of Ripley's Believe It or Not? Has anybody heard of that? Well, what it is, Ripley opened up museums of weird and strange things in the world. So you can actually go to these museums. Like, there's one in Florida, I know. I think there's one in Philly. They're all over the place. But it's just a museum cataloging really strange things that are in the world. Like, I just looked up a few while I was doing this study, and they documented a double-headed porpoise. It was a healthy porpoise, but it had two heads. That's strange. Or a cow was born with its heart in its neck. It was healthy, it was normal, but its heart wasn't in its chest, it was in his neck. That's strange. But Peter's not talking about this type of strange. Peter's talking about something that comes on suddenly as a surprise, and you can't understand why it's happening to you. And Peter's referring to suffering for the cause of Christ. And he's encouraging us, don't think it's a strange thing if you get persecuted for being a follower of Christ. Don't think it a strange thing if hard times or just something happens in your life that you can't explain. You can't believe that a loving God would allow this to happen. Because, unfortunately, it's going to happen. Whether you're saved as a Christian or not, those of us that are followers of Christ are going to experience trials and persecution. Jesus promised that. But take heart is the message. Take heart. He is with us to give us the strength to endure and to overcome. Amen? He promises to never leave us nor forsake us. No one enjoys suffering. However, Peter encourages the right way to handle yourself through the suffering. We all suffer. No one is born into this world and is going to escape suffering. Unfortunately, some who go through a period of suffering, for whatever reason, or however hard the pain, this time of suffering causes them to lose faith in their God. I've heard people say, I lost my faith in God because I went through such a hard time. I could not believe that a loving God would allow this to happen. That's a sad thing. Because even though hard times come into our life, God never leaves us. Quite the contrary. God gives us grace and strength and mercy to endure these hardships. That is what Peter is trying to explain to us. All of us, however, will experience conflict. No one is exempt from suffering. Matthew 5:45 tells us that the rain falls on the just and the unjust. We're all in this life experience together. But how sad it is for those who reject Christ. They endure all this pain and suffering only to enter into a Christless eternity. But those of us who are saved, who have received forgiveness for our sin, we can endure anything. All things are possible through them that believe. Last time I preached, we talked about a mountain-moving God. Nothing is impossible with Him. And if we have the faith as a mustard seed, nothing will be impossible for us. Amen? Hallelujah. Job 5:7 tells us this truth. A man is born for trouble, just as sparks fly up from fire. It's inevitable. It's inevitable. There are many things in life that are unfair, and they affect us all in different ways. For example, storms, earthquakes. None of us have any control over that. And yet so many people are experiencing hardship and suffering through these events that only God is in control of. Sickness and disease. We don't know why people come down with a disease or sickness that they have no control of. But we must have faith in our loving God, who is good and knows all things, why these things happen. But thank God, He is good. Thank God, He is with us. And thank God that He will make a way where there is no way. Isaiah 43:16. God will make a way for you when it seems like there is no way. That's who our God is. All things are possible with Him. And He desires for us to have that undying faith in Him, no matter what He brings into our life, no matter what circumstance, to know, to have that concrete assurance that He will never leave us nor forsake us. What a wonderful promise to hold on to. And it's true. His word is true. Psalm 33:4. He will never leave us nor forsake us. Hebrews 13:5. Jesus said in Luke 8:19 that God and God alone is good. God's very nature is good. But yet we ask the question, if God is good, then why does He allow suffering? If God is good, why does He allow suffering? It's a fair question. It's a fair question. And one that is not easily answered. However, my purpose this morning is to give us some biblical, foundational, concrete answers to hold on to. What does the Bible say and tell us about suffering? What is good? We say that God is good, but who says what is good? Something is good not because we say it is good. Something is good not because we say it is good, but because God says it's good. Many people can agree that something is good, but biblically it's bad. Many people can agree that something is good, but biblically it is bad. Some would say that certain sinful behaviors are good because they enjoy acting them out. However, God says they are bad. So who says what is good? Us or God? Something is good because God says it's good. Because He is good. The biblical truth is that something is good because God says it's good. Something is good not because we say it is good. But why? Because God says it is good. This is very important for us to grasp. Isaiah 55:9 says, God's ways are higher than our ways. God's ways are higher than our ways. We've all heard the question, why do bad things happen to good people? Or you may have even said, I've done all the right things, so why is this happening to me? Or I followed You, Lord, so why are You allowing this in my life? The Christian must reject the world's notion that suffering has no purpose. I know this is a hard message, but the Christian must reject the notion that suffering has no purpose. Though God does not cause our suffering, He does cause it to work for our good. Romans 8:28. God does not cause our suffering, but He will cause it to work for our good. What a wonderful promise. The Christian must not look at suffering as a negative experience. Suffering is neither random or senseless. A Christian can rejoice in the midst of suffering. This is what Peter is teaching us in our text. verses 12 through 19. A Christian can rejoice in the midst of their suffering. Heeding Peter's words will revolutionize our attitude and our actions. People are watching you all around you, in your home, in your family, in your workplace. Those that aren't believers are watching you, how you handle yourself in life. How are you reacting with your life as you go through a time of suffering? Are you glorifying the Lord in how you react, what you say, how you treat other people? People are watching. An interesting, funny story, painful story of something that I experienced. I have my own little construction company, been in business 25 years, and I have a guy that's been with me 18 years. So this guy that's been with me 18 years knows me in and out. And I really do try, just like we should all try, to live out our faith every day to glorify the Lord. He knows me, and he knows what makes me mad, and he knows what's going to get me frustrated. But I really do try to live out my witness, no matter if I'm frustrated or whatever happens. And believe me, when you're in business for yourself, a lot of bad things happen that you have to straighten out. Harry knows that for sure, amen? But a funny story just happened recently, and I'm not building myself up. I'm giving God the glory. Because in the time of trouble and pain, the Holy Spirit just came through. I'm a carpenter, and I was doing some finished trim work on this home. We were just finishing up a project. And as I was nailing with my nail gun, finished nail gun, shoots 1.5-inch trim nails into fine trim, I was nailing a piece of trim, real small, intricate piece, and as I hit the trigger of the gun, the nail ricocheted and went right through the tip of my finger, through this part of my finger, it came out my fingernail. And he was standing right there with me. And it was unbelievable how the Holy Spirit just came upon me, and I was able to just drop my gun, pull the nail out, squeeze my finger. I didn't react. I didn't, like, throw anything. I didn't yell. And the only reason I share that is that even though I shot my finger with a nail, I didn't ruin my witness in front of my helper of 18 years. You see what I mean? He saw how I reacted. And I'm just saying that God, the Holy Spirit, was there with me. And miraculously, it really healed quick. But it really could have been one of those situations. I mean, if we're not living out our witness every day, if I would have swore or if I would have thrown something and I was sort of, that would have just blown 18 years of witness. For me, that's an example of how I know the Holy Spirit will be with us in an immediate situation when we wasn't expecting it to happen. God will comfort us in that time of suffering. Amen. I experienced it. So, God, people are watching us, how we deal and how we live in our life through the good times and through the suffering times. God's purpose is that we remain fervent also in our love, Peter said. Oftentimes, when we go through a time of suffering, regardless of what it is, whether it's a physical type of suffering or it's an emotional heartache type of suffering, or we may see a friend or a family member going through suffering, we often have an opportunity to choose to love through it or turn inwardly and get bitter through it. And Peter is sharing with us to remain fervent in our love, passionate in our love for each other, instead of getting bitter. Even in the family of God, people that we love are going to hurt us. People that we trust is going to break that trust. In the natural reaction for us is to get bitter. Shut that person out. I'm never trusting them again. But that's not what God wants us to do. That's not what Jesus has done. For we did that very same thing to him. When we sin, we hurt His heart. We break His trust. And when we sin against each other by not forgiving, by holding grudges, by judging, we hurt His heart as well. And as I was studying for this message, I thought it was interesting that Peter was emphasizing remaining faithful in our love for one another. As you look at the apostles, Peter reminded me of one of the edgy ones, you know, one of the rough ones, the one that wanted to fight for Christ, the one that probably got in the face of people, you know, like he was like a biker type. He was a fisherman. He was rough around the edges. But as you study John, for instance, he seems to be like the more emotional one, the more, you know, welling up with tears, you know, wanting to hug Jesus. Where Peter was more of a, you know, stick his chest out. But as we see, God has been working on Peter's heart. God has been changing him. And in this epistle, he's saying, church, I know you're going through suffering. Don't think it's a strange thing coming upon you out of nowhere. But God is in control. And remain fervent in your love for one another. For what does he say? Love covers a multitude of sins. He's talking to you. He's talking to us, believers. That love, that pureness, that passionate love from our heart, Christ's love. Even though you're a sinner, even though you fall from grace, you come to Christ and ask for forgiveness. Don't let that sin form a callus in your heart, is what Peter's saying. Remain fervent in your love, for that love is what will cover that multitude of sins. Don't consider it something strange when this suffering comes upon you. He continues, forgive us, and remains close to us. Jesus does. He does not reject us. So just as Jesus doesn't reject us, we shouldn't reject each other. It's a hard situation. It's a hard problem to resolve, but the only way to resolve it is to come to the cross. Leave it at the cross. If someone has hurt you, someone has broken your trust, leave it at the cross. Just as Christ has forgiven you, forgive that person. For that love will cover a multitude of sins. Though Peter is discussing the suffering of the Christian for the cause of Christ, the Bible does talk about several other types of suffering. We suffer in the world just because we're in a fallen world. Christian or non-Christian, we are all going to experience suffering because we live in a fallen world. God did not create us sinful. He created us holy and perfect in His image. But man chose sin against God. And they chose to fall from grace because Adam chose to sin and disobey God. So we simply experience suffering in this world because it is a fallen world. We suffer because of our own personal choices, Romans 5:19 tells us. We suffer for rejecting Christ. 2 Thessalonians 1:8 tells us. We suffer, this is a good one. We even suffer because God is chastening us as a loving Father. Just as we raise our own children up and we have to discipline them to teach them the right way to go, God does that in our life as well. A good, loving Father will discipline His children to teach us the right way to go. And I think Peter is telling us to receive the suffering with a pure heart. Receive the chastisement of our loving Father because He only wants the best for us. And that love will cover a multitude of sins. And lastly, we suffer voluntarily because we choose to follow Christ. The fact is that when we follow Christ, when we give our life to Jesus Christ and ask for forgiveness of our sin, we are forgiven of everything we've ever done. We are made new because of the blood of Jesus Christ. Because the world has rejected Christ, they're going to reject us as well. So we will experience trials and tribulations for the very fact of being a follower of Christ. But don't lose heart, church. We've discussed all these topics of suffering. But I want to encourage us that it's not for nothing. God has a purpose, and God has a plan, and God will bring beauty from ashes. He promises that. The appropriate attitude for the suffering saint is don't be surprised, but keep on rejoicing. Suffering should not take a Christian by surprise. The Bible is full of examples of followers of God who suffered for their faith. The whole Bible is full of story after story of saints who had to suffer for their faith. And we will too. But take heart. For instance, Job, an Old Testament saint, Job. Most of us know the story of Job. Job was a righteous man. He loved God. He loved God all of his life. He was a businessman, a family man. He took care of his workers. And our adversary, the devil, one day came to God and said, I know that Job loves you and praises you and glorifies you, but how could he not? All you've done is bless him with all this wonderful thing. Money, riches, beautiful family, business. Satan went to God and said, you take all those things from him, he'll curse you to your face. You see, when Satan attacks us, it's not a surprise to God. The truth of the matter is, God actually has to give Satan permission to attack us. That's something very important to know. And we learn that from this story of Job. God gave Satan permission to attack Job, to bring disease upon his life, for him to lose his business, his livestock, his children, his wife and friends turned against him. We don't know how long of a period that Job suffered. But the fact of the matter is, one day, up until, let's just say Job was 30 years old, his whole life he was blessed. Love God. Everything's great. God is awesome. Hallelujah. God is awesome. You know, everything's going great. And then one day, boom, out of nowhere, Job didn't know anything about it. Sickness came upon him. Livestock died off. Children were killed. His wife and friends turned against him, blaming him for all the bad things that were happening in his life. Came out of the blue, had no idea all this heartache and suffering was coming. But Job's reaction was, yea, though he slay me, yet still I will praise him. Job remained faithful to the God that he knew was true to his word, was loving, kind, who was good. He knew God was faithful, and he knew no matter what was happening in his life, God knew about it. And the story goes on to say, God even bragged on Job in the heavenlies. When we remain faithful to God, God brags on you in the heavenly realm. He is bragging on his faithful servants. It brings him joy to know that his chosen creation does love him. And no matter what comes into their life, they will remain faithful. And that makes God happy. And we don't know the period of time Job suffered, but God returned blessing for ashes. God blessed Job double what he had before because of his faithfulness. Then there's another Old Testament story of Joseph. We all know that story. He was, I think, the 11th son of Jacob. Jacob loved Joseph. His brothers were jealous of Joseph. Joseph lived a faithful life, believing in God, did the right things. Then out of the blue, because his brothers were jealous of him, sold him into slavery without his father knowing. And for 13 years, he went from living a wonderful life in his father's house to being sold into being a slave. But because of his faithfulness to God, his father, who he knew was good and knew was faithful, raised him up to be the king over Potiphar's house. And in one last New Testament story, Paul and Silas. Paul and Silas were thrown in jail just for preaching the gospel of Christ. They were locked up in prison, chained and bound. I'm sure it was a miserable, dismal circumstance. But they chose to praise God through it all. While they were in that jail, chained and bound, under 24-hour guard, they chose to praise the Lord. They sang praises, the Bible says. And God heard the praises of his saints. Brought an earthquake, caused the jail to crumble. They were freed. And then the jailer, terrified of what was happening, knew if these prisoners got away, he would be killed for losing his prisoners. And he was going to kill himself with his own sword. But Paul said, "Stop! We're still here. Don't do that." And the Holy Spirit filled that place, and the jailer was terrified and then asked, "What must I do to be saved?" The jailer became a Christian, got saved because of this bad situation of suffering and how the saints responded to it. You see, people are watching us, how we deal in our suffering. God is using it for our good. I know it's hard to believe, but we have story and example after example in the Scripture that God is true to His Word, and He wants us to love Him more than anything, even suffering. That experience of suffering, we can still rejoice, we can still love through it, knowing that God has a purpose. God is a master at turning out good from something bad. Using the worst and turning it into the best. For that's what He did with His own Son. He knew that our sin was separating us from Him. And the only way that we could be redeemed was if the perfect sacrifice was sacrificed, and that was His Son, Jesus. God took the worst, the crucifixion, the most brutal, painful death that one could experience, and sacrificed His holy, loving Son on that cross to forgive us of our sin and to give us new life and to bring us into a right relationship with our good and loving Father. God will take the worst and turn it into the best. That's what He did with the cross of Christ. He gave us eternal life. He bought our salvation through the cross and the blood of His dear Son, Jesus. So, church, in conclusion, I want to encourage us to remain faithful to our God, to remain faithful to His purpose in our life. For He has a purpose. He has a plan. We're all not suffering alone. We are not all islands by ourselves. I know it's hard when you're in the midst of suffering and we can't explain why we are experiencing this. But take heart. God is sovereign over us. Sovereign means all-powerful, full authority. Simply said, sovereign means God is in control. Amen? What a wonderful hope we have to know that God is sovereign over us. We're not alone. We're not experiencing these hardships alone. Let your love be fervent for one another. Just as Christ loved you, let us love one another. That's God's plan. Though sorrow comes through the night, joy comes in the morning. You're not going to remain in that state of suffering forever. It's best not to resist it, but to lean into it and lean into God's plan. God will bring you out on the other side. The Bible tells it to be true. Example after example after example. God will bring you out on the other side. Though sorrow lasts through the night, joy comes in the morning. God is sovereign over us. He is in control. Amen. I pray that this message encouraged you. It encouraged me as I studied this to not only see how God was working in Peter and how he changed Peter's heart into a loving heart, but the fact, studying these stories of Job and Joseph and Paul and Silas, God is faithful to those who love him. If we draw near to him, he will draw near to us. He will never leave us nor forsake us. He is sovereign over us. Amen. Let's pray. Lord God, I just thank you so much for this message, Lord God. I thank you for your faithfulness, Lord. I pray, Lord God, that each one here, Lord, would realize that you are sovereign and that you are in control. Lord, let each one of us leave this place this morning filled with hope, filled with love, and filled with your peace, knowing that you are in control. Hallelujah. Let's stand as we sing this last song. Sovereign over us.
himself will be with them and be their God. And he will wipe away every tear from their eyes. And there will be no more death or mourning or crying or pain, for the old order of things has passed away. Thank you, Jesus, so much for your promises, Lord. So much. We long for the day that we can be in your presence and be united with our loved ones and friends that have passed away. But until that time, I just pray that you would help us to endure the suffering that will surely come. But we give you glory for each and everything that you bring into our lives, and pray that we can reflect your Holy Spirit through it all, in Jesus' name. And be with our pastor as well, and his wife and family as they're away. Bless their time together, and help them to come back relaxed.